to the word of God. Legalism is obedience to the commandments of men. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you have ought to have done without leaving the others undone, blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may also be clean. And Mark 7 talks again. Mark 7, starting in verse 8. Actually. Yeah. Verse 7. It says, Mark 7, verse 7 says, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. That's it. They're teaching the commandments of men. Right? And it says, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. That's legalism. That is legalism. The washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. He said to them, also too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. And then in verse 13, it says, you make the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. And many such things you do.
For me,
church can do that by having a form of godliness. It can be just going to church once a week. Right? If I go to church once a week and I do this religious practice, or three times a week and I do this religious practice, then I shall be white and clean, right, on the outside. And that's legalism. That's religion. That's not life. Are you doing things? Perhaps if I take communion once a month, right? Perhaps if I be baptized, you know, just the act of it. Perhaps if I do these certain things, right, so this is a form of godliness.
Every tongue will confess.
And I started thinking about the righteousness that comes from the law and the righteousness that comes by faith. And these are two very distinct differences. The righteousness that comes from the law and the righteousness that comes by faith. But the righteousness that comes from the law, we count it as dumb. Paul counts that righteousness as dung. Verse says, the righteousness that comes from the law says there is none righteous, no, not one. And it says also that our righteousness is as filthy rags. When we do these things and keep the traditions of men and so things and we don't do it by faith, that's the righteousness that comes from the law. That righteousness does not produce the righteousness of godliness. That's not the righteousness of life. Right? Righteousness by faith produces a changed heart where, what does it say? The righteous by faith speaks in this way. It says, no longer shall we, who shall ascend into heaven for us? Right? That they may bring, let's say, the gospel down to us, or the good news, or Jesus Christ himself, who may descend into the abyss to bring that up to us, because it's so far off, it's so far, we need to go to the sea, across the sea, we're searching here and there. Who's going to bring the gospel to us? It says, no. It says, the gospel is, it says, the word is near you, it's in your mouth and it's in your heart. Because that's to bring Christ down from above and to bring Christ up from the dead, because he has done it. He's the one that brought the gospel to us. That's the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. And that's the gospel which Paul preached. And he says, if anyone brings another gospel, let him be accursed. Because cursed is everyone who is under the law. But Christ says, hung on the tree to take that curse from us. He didn't have to bear the curse of the law. This curse is everyone who hangs on a tree. He hung on the tree and he took that curse on himself. That we may have the righteousness that comes by faith. That produces life. That produces peace. That produces the fruits of the Spirit. Paul says, I, through the law, died through the law. What does that mean? And I had some brothers encourage me, teach me that. And it says, I, through the law of the Spirit, the law of love. What is the royal law? It says in James 2, I believe, it says the royal law is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the royal law. I, through the law, died through the law. That's the law of sin and death. We died to that law in Jesus' name. We died to it. Now we have the law of love reigning in us. If we embrace Christ, think of our cross, and it says if we crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. The life that I now live, I live by faith. Do not taste, do not touch, do not handle, which have an appearance of self-imposed wisdom, but have no profit against the indulgence of the flesh. Nothing. The only thing that profits against the indulgence of the flesh is picking up your cross and allowing the law of liberty, the law of life, the law of the Spirit to come and burn in our hearts. That love, it says love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law in Jesus' name. Everything, the whole law, the prophets, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, whatever it may be, everything. This is all summed up in one word. Love. Purpose is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith.
God's grace, then.